Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chapter 4, The Revelation of Nityananda's Glories. We heard in Chapter 3 how Lord Chaitanya began his Sankirtan movement after being initiated. And this chapter, Nityananda meets Lord Chaitanya at the house of Nandanacharya. Before Lord Chaitanya was born, Nityananda went on a tour of India, just like Balaram went on a tour of India during the Kurukshetra War. Because he didn't want to take part, because he had friends on both sides. Duryodhana was his disciple in club fighting, so Balaram didn't want to have to fight against his student, so he went all over India. And Nityananda, who was also Balaram, he traveled all over India, waiting for Lord Chaitanya to initiate his Sankirtan pastimes, which he would play an intimate part. So Nityananda came to return to Navadvip from Vrindavan. He was staying in Vrindavan at Shrinkarbhat, which is also called Nityanandavat. And he left there and he returned and hid himself in Nandanacharya's house and then waited for Lord Chaitanya to discover him. And Lord Chaitanya knew he was there, so then he requested his disciples, or what rather followers. He said, "Please, sir, a great personality has come to Navadvip, to Mayapur. Please go and you find him. Nityananda's come." So they went everywhere and searched every house in Navadvip and Mayapur. And they said, "We can't find him." He said, "Really, you can't find?" And then he said, "Okay, start a kirtan party." So they went in a kirtan party, and then they walked from Jagannath Mishra Bhavan. And they walked, it's not very far, maybe 2 kilometers. You saw? No. You went to Mayapur? You never saw Yogapit? Well, that's where Jagannath Mishra's Bhavan was. And then and Nandanacharya's house is to the left of ISKCON. You go out ISKCON gate and turn left and go maybe to the first Gaudiya Math on your left. I think it's Madhava Maharaj. Bhakti Daitya Madhava Maharaj is in charge over there, his followers. And that's the site of the house of Nandanacharya. So Lord Chaitanya started a kirtan party. He went there and he met Lord Nityananda. They embraced, and it was a very wonderful, ecstatic meeting of Gaur Nitai. And this chapter 4 in Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that beautiful meeting. And in that meeting, Lord Chaitanya personally describes to all of his followers the glories of Nityananda. So everyone knows who Nityananda is. Jaya Jaya Jagat Jiva, Jaya Jaya Jagat Jivana Gora Chandra, Anakshana Hao Smriti Tava Paradvandva. All glories of Sri Gaurachandra, the life and soul of the entire universe. May your lotus feet be constantly fixed in my mind. Nityananda Samukhe Rahila Vishwambar Chini Lena Nityananda Apana Ishvar. As Vishwambar stood in front of Nityananda, Nityananda recognized his worshipable Lord. Harishe stambhito haila Nityananda rai Heka jristi hai Vishwambhara rupachai. Nityananda became stunned in ecstasy as he stared at the beautiful form of Vishwambhar. Harishe stambhito haila Nityananda rai Eka drishti hai Vishwambhara rupachai. Ek drishti. It's interesting. Ek drishti is translated as stared. It means he had one thing in his sight and nothing else. Nothing else was allowed in his sight. Just like when Dronacharya was testing the archery skill of some of his students, and similar to the test that was done to win the hand of Draupadi. But this was a test by Dronacharya with some of his archery students. So he hung a fish from the ceiling. And then he asked Duryodhana to string a bow and shoot the eye of the fish. It's similar to the test of Draupadi. These are all his students. So And Dronacharya, then when he strung the bow, then Dronacharya said, "What do you see?" And he said, I see the ceiling, I see the fish, I see the eye." He said, "Okay, you put the bow down." And then he called another student. And then he said, "I see the fish and the eye." He said, "Oh, you put the bow down." And he called Arjun. And Arjun, he said, "What, Arjun, what do you see?" He said, "I only see the eye." So, of course, this was how he was able to, later to win the hand of Draupadi, because there was a similar test done like this to win Draupadi's hand. Archery, testing his skill in archery. So I heard one acharya explain that this is how a devotee should be. He should be like an archer in his practice of devotion. That he, like Arjun, there was so many, even the object, he could not see anything but his goal. He was pinpointed, he was completely focused on his goal of his life, the goal of his archery, was to the order of the Guru, his Dhanurved Guru, Dronacharya, was to shoot the eye of the fish hanging from the ceiling. So that's all he saw, was his goal. So when we this is called Nishchita Bhakti. Nishchita Bhakti, when we become fixed on our goal. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamiye mama janmani ishvare bhavatar bhakti ahoituki toyi. That our only goal is ahoituki bhakti. All we want to do is serve Krishna without any motivation, without any personal ambition, without any provincial interest, no local interest. Universal interest, Krishna's interest, only Krishna's interest. Swartha, it's called Swartha. Swartha, my only object, my only objective. Swartha. My only objective is the service of Krishna. I don't want anything of this world, I don't want. Anything of the higher world, I don't want. Any promotion to the spiritual world, I don't want. I just want Krishna's loving service. This is a very high state of determination. It's something to aspire towards. Because now we have many ambitions and many other ideas. But this is ekadrishti. Ekadrishti means one vision. Ekavision, one vision, one sight. So it's translated with staring. When you're staring at someone, then you can't even, if you're really absorbed in what you're staring at, you can't even hear anything. You can't even feel anything. It says he was stambita. How did he say stambita? He was stunned in ecstasy, just staring at the beautiful form of the Lord, Vishambara Rupachaya. Rasanaya lihe jena darashane pan, puje jena alingana nashikaya grahan. Grihan. He appeared, Nityananda appeared to be licking the beautiful form of Vishambara with his tongue. Rasanaya like. It's interesting, I guess. Darshana pana. Drinking it with his eyes. Like means licking. In Bengali, like. Interesting, the word in Bengali, like, L-I-K-E, becomes lick. Rasanaya like jena darashane pan. Pan is like pio. You say pial, pani, pial, place where you drink water. So pana means he's drinking darshan. So drinking is usually done with the mouth, not with the eyes. That's why these two concepts are together. Rasanaya like jena darashane pan. You can only drink something that's liquid. You can only, and liquid means, another name for water, liquid is ras. Like that verse we memorized and forgot. Right? That verse we memorized from Bhagavad Gita and we forgot. What is that verse about ras? Rasoham Shashi Suryo Pranava Pranavasara Vedeshu Shabdike Purushan Rishu. Krishna says, Rasoham, Aham, I am Ras, Rasavaisaha. Of course, that's also there. But in this context of Gita, because it's Vibhuti Yoga chapter, this Ras is not just talking about Ras in terms of Bhav or Prem, but simply the material counterpart, the experience of Ras, which is simply water. I am the Rasa, I am the taste in water, I am the mellow, the taste of water, Rasoham, Apsu. So here he's saying that Rasayana Like Jena Dharashanipan. So he was licking the beautiful form with his tongue. Rasayana, so Ras, water you lick water, you drink it, you sip it. So now he was also drinking with his eyes, because Ras you can drink. You can drink Rasayana, or nectar. Nectar, Ras, water, pani, nectar drinks, like Rasamrit. But Lord Chaitanya's form is made of Ras. What type of Ras is it made of? Mahabhav. Madanakya Mahabhav. His form is made of this. He is Mahabhav Sarupini Radharani and Rasaraj Chinmayananda Sarup Krishna. Chinmayananda Sarup, Ananda Sarup Krishna, Rasaraj. Rasaraj Mahabhav Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? So what is Lord Chaitanya's form made out of? Chidananda Sarup, that's one half, inside or outside. Then inside is Mahabhav Sarup. Mahabhav, Rasaraj Mahabhav. So that Mahabhav is Prem, the highest percentage of Prem. So he's licking, Nityananda is licking the beautiful form of Mahaprabhu with his tongue, drinking with his eyes, embracing with his arms, Bhuje Jena Lingana Nashikaya Gran, and smelling it with his Nashik, not like there's a city called Nasik in India. That's where, what happened there? Somebody's nose fell over there or something? Is that, I think that's where Lakshman cut off Shupurnika's nose. Maybe, yeah.
Nasika means nose.
Yeah. Ujjain, Nasik, Hardwar, and Allahabad. These are the four sites of Kumbh Mela. I think it has something to do with that, because when the demons were chasing Mohini, when she had the pot of nectar, then she spilled the nectar and it fell in four places. One drop fell in Prayag, which is called Allahabad. One drop fell in Haridwar, one drop fell in Ujjain, and one drop fell in Nasik. But I think that Nasik comes from before Ram Lila, but I'm not sure. But he was smelling the form of Lord Chaitanya with his nose. E mata nityananda hoila stambita na balena kare kichu sabai vismita. In this way Nityananda became stunned. He neither spoke nor did anything. Everyone there was astonished. Sab vismita. Sab log. Nakari kichu. Nabale kichu. Navkari kichu. Nabole. Abole. He didn't speak anything. He didn't do anything. Bhuji lena sarva prana nata gorarai Nityananda janite sri jalilopai Goranga Gorarai is the life and soul of everyone. Sarva prananath. He's a prananath of everyone. Or at least we would hope he becomes the prananath of everyone, because we're also everyone. Then he devised some means of revealing the identity of Nityananda. Srijila Upai, Upai to reveal. Gaurasundar understood Nityananda's service propensity. So then he told Srivas Pandit to recite a verse glorifying the beautiful form of the Lord. Ingite Srivasaprati Mbalila Thakure Bhagavatera Eka Shloka Patakaribare. Gauranga, Gaurai, indicated to Srivas that he should recite a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Ek Shlok Pat, Kadivari. Prabhura ingita buji Shiva sapandita Krishna dhyane kashloka padila twarita. Understanding the Lord's gesture, Shiva's pandit immediately recited a verse in glorification of Krishna's characteristics. He recited a verse which is Krishna Dhyan Eka Shloka. This is a verse from meditating on Krishna Dhyan, meditating on Krishna's form. Many acharyas, they cite this particular verse from 10th canto of Bhagavatam as a verse for meditation. In the Shlokamrit book, there's one chapter that talks about nectar verses and things. So this is an ideal verse, because it describes the actual form of Krishna. But in Lord Chaitanya, or at least Vrindavan Das Thakur, is saying, Prabhur Ingita Bhuji, Srivas Pandit, Krishna Dhyan, Ek Shloka. So this means one shloka that's meant for meditating on Krishna. So he wanted to Rup Dhyan, meditate on Krishna's form. So this is the ideal. This is one of the best verses for meditating on Krishna's form, and this comes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this verse, I believe, is spoken in Veno Gita. This is in a section of this book that says four famous prayers describing the beauty of Sri Krishna. This is Veno Gita. Veno Gita means when the gopis gather together. It's one of the six Gitas of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Veno Gita, Gopi Gita, Pranaya Gita, Viraha Gita, Brahma Gita, etc. And here, they gather together. This is called Purva Rag, chapter 21. This is the intense love that was awakening between the gopis and Krishna before they actually met. Of course, this is in Boma Vrindavan. In the spiritual world, they're eternally youthful, Nitya Kishore. There's no taking birth in the spiritual world. There's no growing up. There's no baby Radha. There's no Lara Leela. There's no Bali Leela and Poganda Leela. It's there, but that's in particular compartments for those that have that bhav. Krishna's eternally Gopal. But actually, the feature of taking birth and growing up, that's specific in Boma Vrindavan, according to Jiva Goswami and other Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Nitya Kishori, Pritamajori. Nitya Kishori Pritamajori. So this Krishna's eternal age, as you've heard so many times. Krishna's eternal, in the spiritual world, Krishna is eternally manifest. He doesn't take birth from Mother Yashoda and grow up and get dragged around by the calves in the courtyard. That's all Boma Vrindavan. That's why these leelas here are so specially sweet. So there he's 15 years, 9 months, 7.5 days, forever, eternally. Always was, always is, and always will be. And Radharani is 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days, eternally. But this verse, this is one verse describing Krishna's beauty. There's one verse by the Dvijapatnis describing Krishna's beauty. There's one verse by Lord Brahma describing Krishna's beauty. And there's one verse by the gopis. It was by Shukadeva Goswami and Rasa Panchadaya. This is the verse that's being mentioned. This verse, was in the heart of Lord Chaitanya. Gaura Rai had this verse in his heart. We had this idea, oh, you read my mind. If someone says to you, oh, I think you want to go to the temple on darshan? Maybe you haven't gone for two weeks, and it's in the middle of the week, Wednesday. And you're just thinking of that. You're really strongly thinking of it, and all of a sudden your husband came home from work and said, do you want to go tonight to have darshan? How do you know? I was thinking. Oh, I had some idea. That's called reading the mind. You must have had this experience in some minor way or even a profound way. So what to speak of Srivas Thakur, who is eternal associate of Gaura Rai, and the Lord is indicating to him by a gesture. He said, understanding the Lord's gesture, Ingate Srivas Prati Balde Thakur. He indicated. How he indicated? By a glance, by a thought wave, by a feeling. He didn't say the verse. He didn't say, oh, now please recite a verse from Gopi Gita, chapter 21, verse 5, describing Krishna's beauty so Nityananda can hear it. He didn't say that. It says indication. The word is indication. Like you can give an indication that you're not interested in someone, or you can give an indication that you're shy by the movements of your body or drawing lines in the ground with your toes, like the gopis sometimes do, or looking downward. Or there's different ways to give an indication that you love someone through the movements of the eyes or the color of your face, or so many different. It's called body language. So body language doesn't originate here. Body language originates there with the Aditanu. The original body is Radharani and Krishna. So they have a whole body of expressions that they use. So Gauranga is Radha and Krishna combined. So his form of communicating is very subtle and transcendental. So he indicated, and so not only did he indicate that he wanted Srivas Thakur to recite a verse to show the glorious position of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, but he also indicated what verse. That was all told. And this verse was playing very strongly in the heart of Radharani. This verse is always there. Because when the gopis gathered and sang in the gopi geet, Venu geet is not the song of the Venu. Geet means song. We say, oh, Venu geet. It must be the song of the Venu. And the Venu also sings. But this is actually the song of the gopis glorifying the Venu, Krishna's flute, Bansuri, Murali Vamshi, Venu. So the gopis are singing and glorifying these beautiful verses. So this verse of Venu Geet, 10th Canto Bhagavatam, chapter 21, verse 5, is spoken by the gopis. Which gopi? We can't say. It could be Radharani. But since Radharani, as Radharani in the form, Krishna in the form of Radharani, as Gaurarai, is indicating to Srivas to speak a verse to glorify the beauty of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya is telling, he said, this is the Krishna Dhyanam Eka Shloka Padila Twarita. He said, this shloka, Eka Shloka, is very good for Krishna Dhyan. That's why it's put in the shloka book. It's not a random collection of shlokas. Lord Chaitanya himself, Radharani herself was saying, you want to know the verse that I memorized, that I spoke to meditate on Krishna? This is the verse that I use to meditate on Krishna. So this verse is recommended by Srimati Radharani for Krishna Dhyan. Like who can write more about the husband than the wife? She's going to write something confidential or intimate about the husband, then she can write better than anybody, because she knows. The same way, who can write better about Krishna than Radharani? Who can speak about Krishna better than Radharani? So Radharani, we can assume that Radharani spoke this verse, although it's not directly indicated, the speaker of any of those verses in Venu Gita Bhagavatam. But now, because Radharani is speaking through the mouth of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna in the mood of Radharani, and then Radharani looking for Krishna, that's the whole bhava of Gauranga. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Krishna kahan? So now that Krishna that Radharani is meditating on is being revealed in this verse. Parhapitam natavaravapu karanayo karnikaram Vinbrad vasaha kanaka kapisham vajiantim chamalam Randran venoradara suryapura yan gopa brinder brindaranyam saparamanam pravishad gita kirti. Shamsundar is entering the forest of Vrindavan, accompanied by his cowherd boyfriends. So the gopis, they're watching, because before you meet someone, you watch them, you look at them, you hear about them, you dream about them, you cry for them. Someone comes and tells you about that person. Someone may give you a picture of that person. They may do a drawing of that person, a painting of that person. So all these things happen in Purvaraga of Radharani and the gopis before they actually had milan, or intimate connection, a meeting with Krishna. They saw him pass by their palaces with the cows. When they go out to pick flowers and go out to do puja, they saw him in the distance with the cows, moving with his friends, dressed so attractively like a dramatic actor on a stage with his turban and peacock feather and gunjamala and mineral pigments and designs on his face. And they became captivated by his sweetness and beauty and charm, and became etched on their heart, just like an etching on glass. They take some machine that can etch glass and it can never be removed. So the image of Krishna was etched on the glass of their heart in an irrevocable, irremovable way. And when they would dream, they would see that heart's etching, that heart's picture. And they would wake up crying, "Oh my Lord, oh my Krishna, oh Shyamasundara, when will I meet, when will I meet?" So they're saying, "Oh look, see, look, he's entering the forest accompanied by his coward boyfriends. Look what he's wearing. He wears a peacock feather in his turban, a yellow carny flower over one ear. And sometimes one day he wears the flower over this ear, and the next day he wears it over that ear. And he's wearing a yellow dhoti as brilliant as gold, and a heart-stealing multicolored garland strung with five kinds of fragrant forest flowers." Heart-stealing garland. It's called Vaijayanti. Thus, Shyamasundara displays his form as the greatest of dancers. Natavara Vapu. Natavara. Like we say Govardhan, Vardhan means to increase. So Vara means the greatest, Nata means dancer. Natavara Vapu. This is verse text 8, you can see there. Natavara Vapu, Karna Yo Karnikaram. Karna, as you know, Karna means the ear and Karnikaram is the flower. Barhapitam, peacock feather. As he entered the forest of Vrindavan, he looked like a transcendental dancer. So he's not just walking. He's not trotting or jogging into the forest. He's dancing. Brahma, when he saw Krishna in the spiritual world, and he recorded it in his Samhita, he said, "I'm seeing that people there don't walk. They don't jog for health and go to Priyavan and jog for health. But every step is a dance. Every step is a dance. The water is just like nectar. And every word is like poetry in the spiritual world. Everything is very sweet." So Krishna is dancing. He's simply dancing. So here the gopis are seeing, as above, so below. Brahma was seeing in the spiritual world. Gopis are in Boma Vrindavan with Krishna. It's also the spiritual world, Prakat Lila. And they're saying, "Yes, look, look, the Shyamasundara is dancing into the forest. Thus he displays his form as the greatest of dancers and the topmost expert in amorous love. The nectar of Shyamasundara's flute flows through the holes of the flute, and thus the glorious vibrations of his flute song echo throughout the forest groves." So this is how they're experiencing Krishna with their senses, as much as they can experience, because they have not embraced him or met him confidentially, or they're falling in love. So when you fall in love with someone, you become attracted to everything about the beloved, the form of the beloved, the sound of their voice, the way they move. Because when you love someone, you love everything they do. And when you're envious of someone, you hate everything they do. Like Prabhupada was once drinking water, I've told many times. He was drinking water in his room, and he picked up the cup, and he put his finger like this. Very aristocratic. Usually you hold on to the cups like this. He put the finger out and poured the water into his mouth. And when Yamuna Devi or someone said, "Oh, Prabhupada, the way you hold your water cup is so beautiful. So the way your finger goes out like that, it looks so attractive. I like it so much." And Prabhupada laughed and he said, "Yes, that's because you love me. Because you love me, you think that everything I do is charming and beautiful and attractive. But if you didn't have love for me, then you would think everything I do is horrible." Like if you're in a temple and you're envious of someone, you say, "Look at that person. Look at that. Listen, he's leading the kirtan. He's singing. His voice, he sounds like a frog. And he walks around, he's so proud. He looks like a dog. He doesn't have any beauty at all. Look at the way he's walking. He walks he waddles like a duck. Doesn't even walk properly. Everything you'll see some fault." So the gopis, they're seeing Krishna and they're very minutely noticing how he's dressed. So if someone's falling in love, they'll see their beloved in school or in the business. "Oh, he wears his shirt like this, and he always leaves one button unbuttoned, and he has a gold chain around his neck, and he has a gold chain with a tennis racket hanging from it. And I noticed that tennis racket. I don't know much, but I think he plays tennis. And and then different things, and you know, and he, his hair is like this, and he keeps it, you know, keeps it in a ponytail behind his back, and whatever. Maybe he's in a rock band or whatever. So they're noticing, and then what he looks like, and now they're noticing the sound that he looks like this, and he dresses like this, and he walks like this. And what sound is he making? Well, he's a musician. And he wanders through the forest playing his flute. And flute is a very echoing type instrument. It's like the wind. So especially Venu, they're glorifying Venu. Venu's a rather high-pitched flute. It's only 6 inches long. So it can carry a long way. And probably used it because when he was seducing the gopis and calling the gopis for rasa dance, he no longer employed the Venu. Then Krishna used the Murali, because the contract had already been signed. The arrangement was already made. The art Purvarag was already in place. So now he was calling them for lover's tryst. So he used the Murali, and the Murali is 1 meter long. It makes a very deep sound, impenetrable. It's like no one else can hear it. Only the gopis could hear the sound. It was minus 10 decibels. That doesn't register on the stereo set. 20 megahertz to 20,000 megahertz. It was 300,000 megahertz. It was gopi megahertz. And only they could hear it. Radharani's name was being vibrated, Vishakha's name, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Lalita. And they came running, each to their own tune of the flute, the Murali. No one could hear. But the Venu is very high, very short and high-pitched. Everyone hears it. Jatila hears it, Kutila hears it, the cows hear it, the monkeys hear it, everyone hears. Especially the cows, because it's meant to call them back from distant pastures. So in Krishna, now they're describing the Venu Geet. But later when they're speaking Gopi Geet, then they become maddened by the Murali. They become maddened by the Murali, so the Venu did its job. Because when Krishna was in a very deep place in the forest, in a very distant place, far removed from the gopis' vision, they could hear the Venu and increase their Purvarag. Oh, do you hear that? Do you hear the sound of that flute echoing in the distance? And everyone could hear it and say, yes, we hear it. That's his flute. Oh, it's echoing through the trees. That glorious vibration. The nectar, see, they're saying, the nectar of his lips. It says, the nectar of his lips flows through the holes of the flute, and thus the glorious vibrations of Krishna's flute song echo throughout the forest groves. So of course, they're saying there's something called direct and indirect statement. So direct statement is what's the face value, but then parokshavad is indirect. So they're saying the nectar of his lips is flowing through the holes of his flute. But what they're trying to say, because they're falling in love, is, we want the nectar of his lips to flow through the hole in our face. We want the nectar of his lips to flow through the hole, our mouth. Our mouth is also a hole, and our body is like a flute. A flute has how many holes in it? 9 holes. How many holes are in the human body? 9 holes. It's called Navadwarapura. Navadwarapura, a city of 9 gates. Pura means city. Navadwarapura. So they're saying, oh, you're sending the nectar through the 9 holes of your flute, the nectar of your lips. But we want you to send the nectar of your lips through our flute. Our body is a flute. But we don't want the nectar to go through all the holes, just in our mouth. Just pour all the nectar of your mouth in our mouth. And of course, that will come to pass. This is their sankalpa. This is their wish. So then, when they meet in the rasa dance, and then when they're dancing so expertly and bending their waist and jingling their ankle bells and their waist bells and playing their hand cymbals and singing so beautifully, when Krishna's very pleased with them, he will dance up in time with them, beside them. He will put his cheek next to theirs. Kapola sparsha kapola. His cheek will touch their cheek. Then to show his appreciation for their dancing, then he will kiss them and pass the tambul Bhatika, or the chewed betel mahaprasad, the prasadi pan from Krishna's mouth will be passed to the mouth of the gopi. and then she'll get the reward. And then the nectar of Krishna's lips will flow into the mouth of her flute. And then she will start singing. So this is what they're saying. The nectar of his lips flows through the holes of the flute, and thus the glorious vibrations of the flute song echo throughout the forest groves. Singing Krishna's glories, the coward boys follow behind. In this way, Vrindavan Dham, which is more charming than Vaikuntha, becomes delighted by the touch of his feet. Vrindaranyam Saparamanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. Gita Kirti. So, Kirti means glorious and famous. Vrindavan becomes glorious because of the Geet, the Gwal Geet. Gwal means cowherd boy. Gopa Geet. We have Gopi Geet and Gopa Geet. The boys are also singing the glories of Krishna with their own bhav. Their bhav is Sakya bhav, brotherly love, friendly love. Vishramba, Vishramba Priti. Vishramba means that your body and my body are the same, and even I'm better than you. Vishramba, very intimate feelings. Vishramba Priti, Vishramba Sakiras. So they're singing Gop Geet, or Gwal Geet. And that Geet makes Vrindavan famous. Then it says Swaparamanam. Then Vrindavan, the land of Vrindavan, Swaparamanam, it says here that the translation is that Vrindavan becomes delighted by the touch of his lotus feet. Sapada Ramanam. So Ramanam, like we have Radharaman, we say Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Ram means Ramanam, or Radharaman. So Ramanam means delightful or enchanting, but Ramanam actually means Rati, actually means conjugal enjoyment, conjugal bliss, conjugal pleasure. So Swarapada Ramanam, that Krishna, he's putting his feet, Swapad, Krishna Swapad, his own feet, he's placing on the breasts of Mother Earth. Mother Earth is a mother. She's a mother. He's walking on her surface. It's like putting his feet on her breasts. And she feels delighted by the touch of Krishna's feet on her surface or on her breast. She feels very happy and delighted, Ramanam. But actually that's also goes on in Ramanam Leela or Ratikeli. And so this is another indication. They're saying, yes, now your feet are walking on the breast of the earth, Swaparamanam. But someday in the future, because we're in love with you, and we're hoping that our love will meet its final point, that we'll have union with you. And then we will also hold your feet, your tender, soft feet on our raised breast. We will hold your feet over there, Swaparamanam. This is our sankalpa. We will taste the nectar of your flute, and then when we taste the nectar, your flute will become ecstatic, and then our pastimes will progress even more. And then I will even, in loving ecstasy, I will hold your feet upon my breast. This is in chapter 21. Then you see 10 chapters later in chapter 31, which is called Gopi Geet. We're hoping that our love will meet its final point, that we'll have union with you. And then we will also hold your tender, soft feet on our raised breast. We will hold your feet over there, Swaparamanam. This is our sankalpa. We will taste the nectar of your flute, and then when we taste the nectar, your flute will become ecstatic, and then our pastimes will progress even more. And then I will even, in loving ecstasy, I will hold your feet upon my breast. This is in chapter 21. Then you see 10 chapters later in chapter 31, which is called Gopi Geet. Here the gopis are speaking Vaino Geet, and 10 chapters later, chapter 31, 10th canto, Rasa Panchadai, the gopis are also speaking, called Gopi Geet. And there they say the same thing. Oh, we fear that your feet are so tender, if we place them on our raised breasts, that you may hurt your feet there, because our breasts are very hard. They're not all flat and saggy and like this. They're very hard and firm and raised and beautiful. So you may hurt your tender feet. They're saying this. These same verses are there. Oh, now you're wandering in the forest, somewhere in this moonlit night. So here they're mentioning here will be fulfilled in Rasa-lila. Rasa-lila means all rasas. All rasas are there. Mukhi rasa, gona rasa. Everything is fulfilled there. It is an emporium of ras. It's called Rasa-lila. And all the rasas are there. There's ras and ras. There's like madura ras, sakya ras, but that's ras, long a ras. Because all of the rasas are combined over there. So this is a verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicated to Shivas, who said, listen, by his heart's wish or heart to heart, he communicated, please recite this verse. So Shrivas recited this verse, which is the Ek Shloka Krishna Dhyan. This is the shloka, the one shloka to meditate on Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, is this one. This is approved and certified and recommended by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the Bhaktavatar. He's a teacher of Prema Bhakti. He's a teacher of Braja Bhakti. So if you want to cultivate Braja Bhakti, this is a very important verse for us to memorize and to meditate upon. Because he's a Shiksha Guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not only Krishna and the mood of Radharani, Radha Bhav and Kanti, relishing his own internal experiences and relishing Radharani's Mahabhav, but he's also teaching us through his direct words and through the words of his disciples and followers how to cultivate Braja Bhakti, especially in Gopi Bhav and Madhurya Bhav and Manjri Bhav. So of course, in our new book, this verse will be there. So this verse was spoken for the benefit or pleasure or satisfaction of Lord Nityananda and for the edification of all the assembled devotees who had gathered with Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya Lord Chaitanya is teaching. He's teaching us by this verse that yes, this is a good verse for us, for Krishna Dhyanam, for meditation on Krishna. Because Raghunuga Bhakti is called Manodharma, the religion of the mind. So it's very much concerned with meditation. Smaran, Dharan, Dhyan, Dhruvanusmriti, Samadhi. These are the five stages of meditation. First there's casual remembrance, then holdings for some time, called Dharana, holding. Smaran, then Dharan, holding, then Dhyana means extended meditation without distraction. Then Dhruva Anusmriti. Anusmriti means remembering Anu, one after the other, moment to moment, in an unbroken way, just like if you take some honey and you pour some honey from a jar, it pours in a steady stream. It won't, like water may break, but honey will be steady until it falls, empties. Then there's samadhi, which means complete absorption for hours on end, days on end. So now he's also teaching his followers the glories of Nityananda, because we'll see the reaction of Lord Nityananda when he hears this verse. We just heard this verse and we had our own particular reactions, maybe falling asleep or whatever, and falling unconscious in our own way, falling unconscious due to ignorance. Shuni matra Nityananda shloka ucharan Padila Murchitahana Nahika Chaitan. As soon as Nityananda heard this verse, he fell unconscious on the ground. This is called pralaya. It's the eighth symptom of astasattvic bhavs. And it happens when everything else is over, all the circuits short circuit everything, then you go unconscious. Anande Murchitahaila Nityanandarai Parapara Shivasera Goranga Shikai. Nityananda lost consciousness in ecstasy. Anand. Gauranga instructed Shivas to continue reciting. Shloka shuni kattashani hoila chaitan tabe prabhu lagilena karita krandan. Hearing verse after verse after verse, Nityananda finally regained his consciousness and began to cry. Puna puna shloka shuni bhariye unmad. Brahmanda Bhedaya Haina Shuni Singhavnad. Nityananda's madness increased, unmad, as he heard the continual recitation of verses, shloka after shloka, puna puna shloka, shuni, bhadaya, bhada unmad. He roared so loudly that the sound pierced the universe. Brahmanda Bhed, like we say, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Simultaneously, one and different, no division. So, bade means to divide or crack. He cracked the universe. Singhanad. We say Venonad or Nokianad. Nad means sound. Nokianad. Roaring like a lion. Alakshite antarikshe padaye achad. Sabe mani bhave kiva Chorna Hoilahad. Nityananda jumped in the air and fell forcefully to the ground. Everyone there thought that his bones were smashed. No one could imagine that such a reaction would occur simply by hearing a few Sanskrit shlokas. If someone reads 5 or 6 shlokas to us in succession, it's a sure way to fall asleep. Someone says, I'm going to read the Bhagavatam. I'm going to read 1 chapter of 10th canto to you, all the shlokas in Sanskrit. There are 60 shlokas. By the 21st shloka, you'll be snoring. But he's jumping up in the air and crashing down and breaking all his bones. Anyarekin haya vaishnavera lage bai. Raksha Krishna, Raksha Krishna, Sabe Sanarai. What to speak of others? Even the Vaishnavas were frightened. Then they prayed, O Krishna, Krishna, please protect him. We had Raki, right? So this is Raksha. Raksha Krishna, Raksha Krishna. Protect him, Krishna, protect him. Garagari Jai Prabhu, Priti Bira Tale, Kalevara Purna Haila, Nayanera Jale. Nityananda rolled on the ground. His entire body became wet with tears of love. Priti Vira Tale, Kalevara Purna Nayanera Jale. His entire body was washed with the tears rushing from his eyes. Vishambara Mukachahi, Chare Ghana Swas, Antare Ananda Shane, Shane Mahas. Nityananda sighed deeply while looking at the face of Vishambara. His heart was full of ecstasy, and he repeatedly laughed loudly. Mahahas. Ganashwas. Chari Ganashwas. Vishambara Muka Chahi. Chari Ganashwas. Antarayanda. Inside he was full of bliss. Shane Nritya Shane Nat. Shane Bahutal. Shani Jora Jora Lampa Dehi Deki Bhal. One moment Nittai danced, one moment he bowed down, one moment he clapped his hands, and one moment he jumped wonderfully with his feet together. This phrase, Bahutala, Bahu means arms, that refers to the sound that wrestlers make when they slap their arms in a wrestling arena. Come on. Make big sounds, slap their biceps. And then the person, whoa. And everybody in the audience, oh, nice. Just like in the jungle, what do the gorillas do? Gorilla? You ever see in the movies? All right, they beat their chest. Ah! You ever saw? And then what? And then the little baby gorillas in Vrindavan, baby gorillas, the rhesus monkeys of Vrindavan, go rhesus. They go, they don't beat their chest, but they go, right, when they're angry. They want to show they're tough, they stand, and their ears go, Dekhi Adbhuta Krishna Unmar Anand Sakala Vaishnava Sange Kande Gora Chand. Seeing Nityananda's amazing ecstatic madness and love of God. Dekhi Adbhuta Krishna Unmar Anand Sakala Vaishnava Sange Kande Gora Chandra. All the Vaishnavas began to cry, Kande, along with Gora Chandra. Puna puna bhare shukka atti anibhar, dharena sabaya keya nare daribhar. Nityananda's happiness increased constantly. Although everyone tried to hold him still, they could not check his movements. Darite narila jari vaishnava sakale vishambara lailena apanara kole. All the Vaishnavas could not, when they failed to hold him still, Vishvambhara personally took Nittai on his lap. Vishvambhara kole matra gela nityananda samarpya pranatane haila nishpanda. As soon as Nityananda was taken on Vishvambhara's lap, he surrendered his life to the Lord and became motionless. Everything became still. The turbulent ocean of his ecstatic symptoms became pacified. Like sometimes a baby will go into a tantrum and yell and he'll scream and he'll kick things and go do all kinds of things, and the mother will pick him up and just hold him on it, restrain him and hold him on her lap and rock him a little bit. Then all of a sudden, in 1 second, he drops the whole tantrum, forgets the tantrum, stops kicking his legs, relaxes. From a tantrum tornado to a sleeping cherub. Cherub. Cherub means angel. Cherub. So now Nityananda became like a pacified baby on the lap of his mother. He surrendered his life to whom it belonged and remained inert in the Lord's lap. Acheshta. Acheshta means inert. No cheshta. Cheshta means activities. Acheshta haya. He didn't move. Samarpya. Tan mandan guru samarpan. Arpan means everything, sama, offer everything to Guru, Krishna. So in Bengali it's samarpya, samarpya. So he offered everything, arpya, he worshipped, he surrendered everything to Chaitanya, because everything belongs to Chaitanya. Vasse Nityananda Chaitanyara Prema Jale Shakti Hatta Lakshmanje Hina Ramakole Prema Bhakti Bane Morcha Gela Nityananda Nityananda Kole Kare Kande Gora Chandra. Prema Jale Rama Kole Gela Nityananda Kande Gora Chandra. Nityananda floated in the waters of Chaitanya's love. Vase Prema Jale. Vase Prema Jale. Prema Jal, waters of love, Bhase, floating, submerged, drowning. Nityananda. Just as Lakshman remained in the lap of Ramachandra after being hit by the Shakti Shela arrow of Indrajit. Indrajit, wasn't it? Same, maybe the same person. Indrajit is Meghraj, I think it's the same. Meghnath and Indrajit, I think, are the same person. Because Meg means clouds, it means the Lord of the clouds, and Indrajit means the one who defeated Indra, and that's the son of Ravan. He shot this weapon at Lakshman, knocked him out, and then Hanuman had to go and get the Sanjeevani Ras. Nityananda lost consciousness due to being hit by the arrow of ecstatic love. Haribo. It's a nice arrow. Prema Bhakti Ban, Murcha Gela Nityananda. Ban means arrow. Bana means arrow. Prema Bhakti Bhane, Murcha. So this is just like we say Prema Bhakti Bhane, and then there's also Kam, Kam Bhane. Kam Bhane. Kandarpa shoots the arrows of L-U-S-T, lust. Kamban. That's one of his names. He has different names. Ananga. Name for Cupid is Ananga. Kandarpa. Kandarpa means, Darpa means proud, and Kan means, I forget, but he's very proud. Kandarpa is very proud because he defeated it. He defeated Shiva, he defeated Brahma, he defeated everyone with lust. So he's very proud. Kandarpa. One is very proud. And then Kandarpa, and then another is Panchabanai. Panchabanai. He has five arrows. Panchabana. Panchabana. Panchabanai. Panchabana means five arrows. they're all categorically, the general category is called the arrow of lust. There's actually five, it's called Panchabandha because he has five arrows. One is the arrow of rupam, the arrow of sparsham, the arrow of gandha, the arrow of rasam, the arrow of gandha. Smell, taste, sight, sound, touch. Lust is created in all these ways. We see the object of our, we see, man sees woman, and he sees that rupam, that sight, so then Cupid shoots an arrow. Oh, she's nice. Oh yeah, she's nice. And then that's sight, and then sound, then he sits next, he sees her when he gets on the bus, and then he goes and sits next to her and says hello. Then she speaks, then he hears her vacham. This is sound, shabda. That's also an arrow. Oh, she has a very sweet voice. But he sits next to her and she goes, well, hello. Say, wow. Ladies from Cockney English. Not very nice voice. She looks nice, but her voice is terrible. And then when he sits next to her, she smells like 10 dead dogs. Then he goes, oh boy, she really stinks, you know. She has bad smell. So then there's no Gandha arrow. So this way, Cupid is launching all his arrows. So that's why they say the perfect form of Maya for the man is woman, and the perfect form of Maya for the woman is man. Because the sound of man, the sight of man, the taste of man, the touch of man, the smell of man is all affected by Cupid, and the same for woman. But here's Prem Bhakti Bane, Murcha Gela Nityana. Murcha means become like a fool, become unconscious. So just as Cupid shoots his arrows and everybody becomes blind and foolish and unconscious and does all kinds of crazy things. So here, the arrow of love, he's love-struck. I have this term, love-struck, or rather lust-struck, but they say love-struck. But here, Nityananda has become love-struck by the Prem Bhakti Ban of Gauranga. He's lost consciousness, Murcha, due to being hit by the arrow of ecstatic love. Holding Nityananda on his lap, Gaurachandra began to cry. So, as you may notice, if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, this book is full of dancing, chanting, crying, rolling on the ground, and a little philosophy here and there. There's lots of stories, lots of Vaishnava etiquette, lots of devotees embracing and crying. Lots of, like every other 10 pages, someone's crying and rolling on the ground. And someone's fainting, someone's rolling on the ground, someone's crying. And then the devotees are meeting together, and there's philosophy sprinkled here and there. It's mostly just the ras, bhakta ras, prem ras between devotees. Whereas Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, is deep ras. There's Madanaki Mahabhava, Radharani there, and Gambhir Leela. But there's so much philosophy there. Much, much more philosophy there. Kiyananda viraha haila duijan purve jena shuni jache shri rama lakshman. The exchange of happiness that the two enjoyed was similar to what is heard between Ram and Lakshman. Well, that makes sense because Lakshman is Nityananda and Balaram, and Ram is Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gora Chandra Nityanande Snehera Yesima Sri Rama Lakshmana Vahinahika Upama. There is no comparison to the affection between Gaurachandra and Nityananda other than that which is found between Ram and Lakshman. In other words, their love can only be compared to their love. Because the love of Gaur and Nittai can only be compared to the love of Lakshman and Ram. And that means that your love can only be compared to your love. The way you love Nittai can only be compared to the way you love Lakshman. There's no comparison. Bhaya pailena nityanandesh katashan haridwani jayadwani kare saragan After some time, Nityananda regained external consciousness, Maya Pailena. And all the devotees chanted the name Hari 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 Dwani Jaya Dwani Kare Saragan. Nityananda Kole Kare Ache Vishambar Viparita Deki Mane Hase Garadhar Garadhar. When Gadadhar saw Nityananda on the lap of Vishambar, he was surprised by the reversal of roles and smiled within. Reversal of roles means that generally Balaram was always serving Krishna, and Vatsalya Ras and Sakiras. The Sakiras is mixed with Vatsalya and Krishna Lila, and Ram Lila, Lakshman is always serving Ram. But here Ram is serving Lakshman, holding him in his lap, trying to revive him. And this Lila, as it unfolds, Nityananda will be always serving Lord Chaitanya, serving his preaching mission and doing whatever he says. But now we see that Gauranga is serving Nittai, holding him in his lap, trying to pacify him and revive him, and serving, rendering service to him in his ecstatic condition of swoon. So seeing Nityananda in the lap of Gaurasundara, Gadadhar became astonished. Rather than Nityananda carrying and serving Gaurasundara, Gaurasundara held Nityananda at this juncture and thereby created the Viparita Degi. Reversal in roles. Viparita means opposite. Jayananta Niravari Dare Vishvambar Ajitara Garvachorna Kolera Bitar. The pride of Ananta, who constantly holds Vishvambar, is smashed today while being held in the Lord's lap. So this is how, when Gadadhar saw this, then he responded, because Balaram, he expands into five different forms to serve Krishna. And one, of course, he's also, as Sandini Shakti, Balaram also becomes a holy dham. It's like, for example, you may be a musician and you have a band, and now you want to go all different cities and perform. But to perform, you need a stage. You need lighting and light show and seats and theater and air conditioning. So in every city that you go to, I go and make all kinds of bookings. I make all the arrangements. I'm your roadie or your booking agent. And I get all the coliseums and all the theaters together with all the seating and lighting. So I make all the arrangements, and all you have to do, you just go there, walk on a stage, pick up your guitar, and play and sing. So Krishna wants to have leelas here and there and anywhere. When he wants to come to the material world and have his leela, then Balaram comes first. First, he appears first in Rohini's womb. And then Krishna comes and performs his Braj Leela. But first Balaram comes, rather, with the Sandini Shakti to establish the holy dham. So in the same way, it's told here that Balaram expands into five forms as a Natashesh. He expands into Natashesh and expands as Krishna's Singhasan and his bed and his slippers and different things. So now Gadadhar is saying, oh, this is quite amazing, that Ananta, who has these five different forms to serve Krishna, or Nityananda, who is the same Ananta, now Ananta, his pride, the pride of Ananta, who constantly holds Vishambar, is smashed today because Vishambar is holding him. Because one of Ananta's forms is Sheshanag. And Sheshanag, there's one expansion of Sheshanag that's holding up each universe. And they have this energy in the universe called gravity. And that in Sanskrit is called Sankarshan. Sankarshan means gravitational pull. Karshan means attracting force, attracting everything. Sankarshan, pulling, drawing everything to him or to himself. Sankarshan. So this is Sankarshan. Krishna, Anand. Krishna Sankarshan. The word Krish means Karshan, means attraction, pulling, drawing, forcing. And Ananda means bliss, joy, fulfillment. So there's nothing more compelling than bliss, nothing more attractive than bliss, nothing more fulfilling than bliss. If someone sees happy people, he'll be attracted there. Or if someone is offering happiness or offering bliss, you take this and you'll be blissful. Oh, okay, let me have that. It's called ecstasy drug. And you take it and become ecstatic. That's their advertising. So this is Krishna. If you take Krishna, you become blissful. If you accept Krishna, you become happy. He will draw happiness to you and happiness out of you. Happiness will be drawn into you and happiness will be drawn out of you. First you take out the poison, then you can be healthy. So first we have to take out the distress and then we can experience the happiness. So the distress is called kleshagni. The first two symptoms of bhakti are Shubhada and Kleshagni. So Krishna comes and draws out all the distress. Krishna means drawing. Drawing, pulling, extracting. He extracts all the distress. What causes us distress? What causes us unhappiness? What causes us distress and unhappiness and sadness is sin and the reaction of sins. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Matsarya. So Krishna's name draws all that out. That's called Kleshagni. This all sufferings and miseries are removed by Krishna's name and Krishna's service. So that Krishna, who is usually served by Balaram or Nityananda, now Ananta is being served by him. Sugadadara is remarking at the irony of all this. Nityananda pravera gyata garadhara Nityananda gyata garadharantar. Gadadhar knows the glories of Nityananda, and Nityananda knows the mind of Gadadhar. Gadadhar is Gaurasundara's most confidential energy. Therefore, he knows the wonderful glories of Gaura's servant Nityananda. Nityananda dekhiya sakala bhaktagan Nityananda maya haila savakaraman. After seeing Nityananda, the minds of all the devotees became filled with eternal bliss. So you see that Nityananda maya haila savakaraman. Nityananda dekhi sakala bhaktagan. It's very interesting what Vrindavanas Thakur is doing. He's talking about Nityananda, and everybody's experience, everybody's reaction and experience is Nityananda. Nityananda dekhiya sakala bhaktagan, Nityananda maya haila savakaraman. So sakala bhaktagan, all the devotees were seeing Lord Nityananda, who is the personification of bliss. He's bliss personified. And how do they feel in their minds? Their minds became full of Nityananda. Nityananda maya. Maya means full of, saturated with. Man means mind. I mean, maya means they became their man. Savakaraman. Everyone's mind became filled with Nityananda. Nityananda's darshan, Nityananda's bhav, and the very meaning of the word, eternal bliss. Everyone became blissful. You see what it says? After seeing Nityananda, they became filled with eternal bliss. Kevala Ananda Kanda. This process, Paramakuruna Pahunduijana Nitai Gora Chandra. This is Kevala Ananda Kanda. Nityananda Gora Chandra Donhe Donha Dekhi Keha Kichu Nahi Bale Jare Matranki. As Nityananda Gora Chandra gazed at each other, they did not speak a word as tears flowed from their eyes. Very touching scenes. As you can imagine, now this is Krishna and Balaram looking at each other. This is love. Like men and women will look at each other, husbands and wives or lovers, and they may cry in happiness or cry in man or anger. So many reasons to cry. Cry in joy. But here, Nityananda and Gaurachandra gazing at each other. Nityananda sitting on Gaurachandra's lap. Very intimate space, very, very intimate embrace, looking at each other and crying. Because they haven't seen each other for 20 years. Remember, Nityananda is about 10 years older than this Leela. I think he's about 10 years older than Lord Chaitanya. So he had been gone. Lord Chaitanya got initiated when he was about 20. We did that research. Remember we did that research? And we said it. Jagannath Mishra died when he was 15 to 17. He married Lakshmi Priya when he was 18. And she was 10. Then he married Vishnu Priya when he was 19. And she was also 10. And then roughly 4 years later, she was about, Vishnupriya was about 14 years old when she became a widow. She lived to be 84 or 90. So she was 70 years a widow. Then when he was 20, he went to Gaya to do the Pinda ceremony, Shraddha ceremony, for his father who had passed away about 3 years earlier. Because this Gaya function, you can go there any time after your father deceases, 10 years later, 20 years, whatever. You may not go, but there's so functions that you immediately do in the immediate, wherever person dies. But going specifically to Gaya is a special type of yatra. You may go or not go. If you go, it's very nice. But you'll do all the other type of rituals that's locally done. So he did that immediately. Then he got initiated by Ishvara Puri at the age of 20. And he started relishing Prem Ras and Nadia Ras from 20 to 23. And then he took sannyasa at 24. Oh, excuse me, Vishnupriya lived to be 87 years old. And she was 14 when he took sannyas. So she was a widow for 73 years, and she was married for 5 years. Married when she was 9. She was 9 years old when she got married. 14, became a widow. 73 years, widow. So now the Lord has met Nityananda after 20 years of separation. And it's the meeting. Imagine Balaram and Krishna being separated for 20 years, the meeting. How much love, how much ecstasy. That's why the tears are flowing. Vishambara Baleshubha Divasa Amar Dekilana Bhakti Joga Chari Vedasar. Vishambara said, "Today is an auspicious day for me. I have seen devotional service, which is the essence of the four Vedas." So Vishambara is describing the great glories of seeing devotion in action. It's one thing to read about devotion, but it's another thing to see it. Reading it has a certain prabhava or creates a certain impression in the mind. But seeing something creates more impression. Like you may read about an auto accident. You read about, oh, this car crashed here and 5 guys got run over and their heads got crushed. And so you read it in a newspaper. If you were there and you saw it and heard the cars skid and then the crying and the blood everywhere, it would be much more impressionable, right? If you saw it and heard it. Not that you want to see it, but especially when there is a car accident, everybody goes really slow and they look. And they, who got smashed? How he got smashed? Some people, I don't. Myself, I don't have much interest. Creates a whole traffic jam. Everybody gawking and staring at the mangled bodies, crushed skulls and blood everywhere. So here Vishambara is glorifying the pure bhakti that's being seen in the form of Nityananda. And Dekilana Bhakti Joga Charivedasar. Charivedasar Vedanta, Vedanta Sar. The essence of the Vedas. The four Charivedasar, the four Vedas, Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda, these are the original Veda, Shrutis. This is the essence. The essence is Bhakti Yoga. And he says, this is Shubha Diva, Divas. It's a very auspicious day. I've actually seen a pure devotee. What could be more auspicious than that? Devotional service alone is the purport and the essence of the four Vedas. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita about that? What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita about the essence of the Vedas? Vedanta Krit Veda Vid. So what does Vedanta Krit mean? Vedanta Krit. Vedanta Krit Veda Vedevacham. Vedanta.
On the end of the Vedas, the bottom line.
Vedantic Grid. Yes, I have compiled the Vedanta. There's Veda. Vedashastavera. I know all the Vedas. He says, Vedashastavera. I know the Vedas. All the Vedas. He says, all the Vedas. I am the compiler of the conclusion of the Vedas. What does it mean? What is Krishna saying in the Gita when he says, I am the compiler of the conclusion of the Vedas? Vedanta Krit. What does that mean? It's another way of saying what? Vedanta Krit. Vedanta means the end. It means the conclusion. Vedanta, the end. No, Krit means that I am the compiler. It means I am Veda Vyas. What is the Vedanta Krit? What is the Vedanta? What is the Vedanta Krit? Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedanta means the end of the Vedas, the conclusion of the Vedas, the perfection of the Vedas, the summary of the Vedas. All the whole Vedic literature was summarized in a book called what? No. Again, the whole Vedas was compiled and summarized in one book called what? Vedanta Sutra. Then Krishna appeared at Srila Vyasadeva and wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And what is the name of that commentary? Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Vedanta Krit, the conclusion of all the Vedas is Srimad Bhagavatam. And the compiler of Srimad Bhagavatam is Srila Vyasadeva. So another way of saying Vedanta, that I compiler, Vedanta Krit, I am the compiler of the Vedanta, means I am Vyasadeva. You follow? So he's saying this auspicious day. So all the Vedas, this is the essence of the four Vedas. The essence of the four Vedas is Vedanta Sutra. And the essence and commentary of the Vedanta Sutra is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about what? Bhakti. Krishna Bhakti. Prema Bhakti, Braja Bhakti, Radha Bhakti. Pure love of Radha and Krishna. This is the essence. So Chari Veda Sara, the essence of the four Vedas is devotional service. Dekilana Bhakti Yoga Chari Veda Sara. He's saying, today I have seen the ecstatic symptoms of this Premi Bhakta, Nityananda. Therefore, by seeing him, Dekilana, I have seen the essence of the four Vedas. What is the essence of the four Vedas? Bhakti Yoga. Where is Bhakti Yoga described? In the Vedanta Krit. What is the Vedanta? Srimad Bhagavatam. Jige. Samaste. Samjay. E kampa e ashu e garjan hunkar e haki ishvara shakti bhaya haya ar. Now this is Gauranga speaking. Are such shivering, tears, and loud roaring possible for any other human being besides one who is empowered by God? Kampa ashu garjan hunkara. Hu hunkara. Hu hunkara. Ishvara shakti bhai means without the power of God, Ishvara shakti, how can you display such things? Gauranga goes on to glorify Nitai. Sakrade bhakti yoga nayane dekile tahare o Krishna chadena kona kale. Gaura said, Krishna will never forsake one who even once directly sees such devotional service. Sakrit. Sakrit bhakti yoga nayane. So that's why there's so much benefit to there's so much benefit created in the world by a devotee. A devotee wears kanti mala, tilak, dhoti, sari, japa mala, walking down the street chanting japa, sitting in a park under a tree, just sitting there, eyes closed, meditating on the pastimes of Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And somebody walks by with their dog, walking their dog in Priyavan or some other park in Delhi. And then they see this devotee wrapped in meditation on the holy names. underneath a kadamba tree in the park. And then they're seeing bhakti yoga. They're seeing shravanam. They're seeing kirtanam. And they're seeing smaranam, the three primary limbs of bhakti in action. And all of those moods, all of those mellows, all those realizations, all those bhavas are coming on his face. The face is the index of the mind. Whatever the mind, whatever thoughts are dancing in the mind, whatever pictures are rising and falling in the mind, they're reflected in the face. So the person's absorbed in meditation. And then they see that. Satkrit. Satkrit means once. As it says in Upadeshamrita, Satkrit eva snator prema kunde prema vishkaroti. Even once bathing in this Radha Kund, prema vishkaroti, that can awaken a vishkaroti prema, braja prema in the heart. Satkrit snatum, eva satkrit snatum kunde, satkrit snatum. Even one bath in this Radha Kund can awaken braja prema, gopi prema. That's how powerful Radha Kund is. So here, Satkriti Bhakti Yoga Nayani Dekhile. If you see with your eyes just once someone performing bhakti, Krishna will never forget you. Krishna Charena. He'll never, Kon Kali, he'll never throw you away. It's amazing. Krishna can never leave the fortunate servant who sees such mental and physical transformations in the course of Nityananda's service. So now, in the context of the pastime, because I'm telling the Adiatmika meaning, the meaning to us, but in terms of the Adi-Daivika meaning, what's going on there between the Lord and his devotees and 500 years ago, Gauranga is directly addressing, listen everyone, you're all sitting here. I brought you all here. We came in a kirtan from Jagannath Mishra Bhavan. Now we're sitting in Nandanacharya's house. And this is, you're seeing, you're, for the first time, you see the ecstatic meeting between Nityananda and I. And what a wonderful, great, exalted devotee he is. And right before your eyes, you're seeing this outburst of prema. And by seeing this, Krishna will never forget any of you, because you've all had privy of this wonderful prema darshan. Bhakti yoga deki, nayana dekile. With your eyes, you've actually seen pure bhakti in action. Shivering, shivering, trembling, crying, roaring, jumping up in the air, crashing down on the ground, falling unconscious. You've seen it. So Krishna will never forget you. See what benefit you got just by buying a ticket to the theater. Just by coming to the show, you got so much benefit. Now there's some verses here where Lord Chaitanya goes on. Because the greatest happiness that the Lord finds is in glorifying his devotees. God himself, his greatest happiness is to glorify Radharani. Krishna is always chanting Radhe, 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 Radhe. He loves to chant Radharani's name. When he simply chants Ra, he begins to stumble. His voice begins to choke up. And when he chants Dha, then he faints. Faints under the kadamba tree. Ra, Dha, and he faints. Starts breathing very heavily. And the gopis have to come and revive him by sprinkling cold Jamuna water on his face and fanning him with the edge of their saris. Pressing his feet. Oh, Sham, please come back to consciousness so we can serve you. It's very hard to serve you when you're unconscious. We can't feed you. We can't sing for you. You can't hear us. You can't see us. You can't feel us. You're unconscious. So this is the example of the Lord, that he takes great exhilaration in glorifying his devotees. And he's attracted to the great love of his devotees. So then he goes on for seven verses glorifying Nityananda. Tumikara chaturdasha bhuvana pavitra achintya agamya gudha tomara charitra toma deki bekahina achikona jan murti mata tumi krishna prema bhakti dan tilardra tumara sangha Ejanara hai, koti papa takile o taramandanai, bujilama krishna mori kariba udhar, tomahina sangani dile namar, Mahabhagye deki lama tomar acharan, toma bhati le se pai Krishna premadan, avishtahaya prabhu gauranga sundar, nityanande stutikare nayavasa. Gauranga was fully absorbed in incessantly offering prayers to Nityananda, and he said, I understand, Nitai, that you are the full power of Godhead. Only by worshipping you can a living entity attain devotional service to Krishna. You are able to purify the 14 worlds, Chaturdasha Bhuvana Pavitra. Chaturdasha Bhuvana Pavitra. You are able to purify the 14 worlds. Your confidential characteristics are inconceivable and unfathomable. Achintya Gamya Gudha. Gudha means deep, unfathomable. Tumara Charitra. Tumara Charitra. Your personality, your characteristics, your life. It's Achintya Gamya Gudha. Who is qualified to recognize you? For you are the personified wealth of loving devotion to Krishna. Murti Manta Tumi Krishna Prema Bhakti Dhan. Toma Deki Beka Hina Achi Konjan. Konjan. Who is that? Who? Konjan. Kone. Konjan. What man, what person can understand? Murtiman. Murti Manta Tumi. You are the Murti. You're the. What kind of Murti are you? Marble? Are you made of marble? Brass? Daro Brahman, are you wood? You're Krishna Prema Bhakti. You're an embodiment of love for Krishna. If a person associates with you for even a moment, Tilarda means half a sesame seed. Tila means, this is a very common expression, like we say, half a second, I'll be back in a second, or half a second. So in Bengali poetry, you often see Tilarda. Like Ardha Chandra? Ardha Chandra means half moon. So Tilarda means half a sesame seed. That means half a sesame. I'll be back in half a sesame seed. Means a really small portion of time because the sesame seed is pretty small. If a person associates with you, Tomara Sangha Janarahai, for a half a sesame seed, even a moment, he will be delivered, even if he has committed millions of sinful activities. Koti pap takilil taramandan hai. Koti pap. I don't mean thumbs up. Sort of pop. Then he says, I have understood that Krishna will deliver me because he has given me your association. Krishna more karibe udhar, tomahina sangani andilena amar. Out of great fortune I have seen your lotus feet. Mahabhagya deki tamar charan. Just by worshipping you, Nitai, I will achieve the wealth of love for Krishna. Toma bhajile. Bhajile means bhajan or worship. Se pai, I will get Krishna premadan. So that's a fact. Lord Chaitanya is telling, if I worship your feet, Nitai, I'll get Krishna Premadan. And that's of course he is, he's Krishna Prem himself. Krishna Prem Sarup. Prem Sarup is Krishna. And the Prem Shakti, the Prem Ashraya is Radharani, and the Prem Vishaya is Krishna. But he's saying, if I worship you, so that applies to us. On his level, he's saying that, but for our adhyatmika vichara, we can understand if we worship the lotus feet of Nittai, Nittai Padakamalam, Bahu Koti Shushi Chandra, was it? Koti Shushi Chandra, we will attain the love for Krishna. Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga, Gaura Hari, Nittai Gauranga, Nittai Gauranga. Nitai Gauranga Gaura Hari, Gaura 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 Hari, Gaura 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 Hari, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga. Anitai Goranga Gorahari, Nitai Goranga Gorahari, Gora Gora Gorahari, Gora Gora Gorahari, Nityananda Chaitanya Ki Jai. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati became so inspired by these words of Gaurasundara that he paraphrased this and repeated the same words, slight variation in his purport. So anything good bears repetition. We like sleeping, so we usually do it every night. And we like eating, so usually we do it every day. We don't like to fast, so we only do it twice a month. And even then it's difficult. Gaurasundara was fully absorbed. He said, "You are the full manifestation of the Lord's energy and the personification of the Sandini Shakti. By serving you, a living entity's propensity for serving Krishna is awakened. O Nityananda, you are capable of easily purifying the seven upper planetary systems, Bhur, Bhuvar, Swar, Mahar, Janas, Tapas, and Satya, as well as the seven lower planetary systems headed by Atal. Your activities are beyond the jurisdiction of the living entity's mental perception. Your confidential characteristics are incomprehensible to the living entities. In fact, no one is able to understand you in truth. You are the direct manifestation of ecstatic love in devotional service to Krishna. If anyone is infested with millions of sinful activities, attains your association for even a moment, he can never be called unfortunate. Although he is sinful, he is nevertheless most fortunate. I have clearly understood that Krishna has sent you to deliver me. One who worships you will certainly attain the wealth of love for Krishna. Since I have attained the good fortune of seeing your lotus feet, it is to be understood that I have met with some particularly good fortune." That is the end of the paraphrasing of Nityananda's words by Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Text 44, chapter 4. Nityananda Chaitanyara Aneka Alap Sabakata Tare Tore Nahika Prakash. Nityananda and Chaitanya conversed with each other through signals and gestures that were unknown to others. It was a special kind of communication. Prabhu Bale Jignyasa Karite Karibhai Kondi Kahite Shubha Karile Vijay. Gauranga said, "I am afraid to ask, but from which direction have you come?" Usually when people meet, the first thing they say is, "Oh, where have you come from? How long will you stay? What is your program?" But the first thing that, and then maybe after they talk for some time, they get into some heated discussions and get emotional, and get angry, or become intimate, or whatever. But here, there was love at first sight. As soon as they saw each other, they fell in love and went into ecstasy of each other's association. And there's no question of formalities. So their relationship didn't follow any type of normal etiquette. Patterns of etiquette, immediately, because love moves in a crooked way like a snake. The snake doesn't move in a straight line. It moves by bending it, compressing its body and extending its body and moving in a zigzaggy way, curving way. So this prema bhakti, this braja prema of Gaura and Nitai, Radha and Krishna, moves in a crooked way. So there's no formalities. First the sweet rice, then the karela. First the dessert, then the main course. There's no systematic eating here, no systematic flow. At first they were overwhelmed by the ecstatic experience of meeting one another. They couldn't control the flow of their ecstasy. Their ecstasy controlled the situation. Love rules. They have a phrase that love rules. So love took over and carried them wherever it wanted to take them. Love is his own commander. No one's above love. No one is more powerful than love. No one can dictate to love. Mercy above justice, love above power. Nothing is greater. There's justice, but justice can be overruled by mercy. And then there's power, but power can be defeated by love. So love is the greatest power, and Krishna is the embodiment of the power of love. That's why he conquers Narayan and Lakshmi, and everyone is conquered. Narayan kidnapped the sons of the Brahmins so he could have darshan of Krishna. That's in the Krishna book. So that means Krishna is more powerful than Narayan. His Leela Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya is so sweet that Narayan kidnapped some children of the Brahmin in Dwarka Leela. So that Krishna was forced to bring Arjuna to the Narayan Loka. So and Narayan said, I took these guys so I can get your darshan, because I don't have Adhikar to enter Braj, because of my Aishwarya Mahi Purushottam, but you're a Madhurya Mahi Purushottam. What to speak of Lakshmi, it's a well-known fact that Lakshmi ran away from Narayan and tried to enter the Rasa dance. So Krishna is so sweet and attractive. So this proves that love beyond power. Narayan is all power. He's Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashashriya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. All wealth, all power, all strength. These are the six definitions of Godhead. That's Aishwarya consideration, Vibhuti. Vibhuti Shakti, Aishwarya. But when we define God in terms of love, rasa. Tata vichara, God is great, God is wealthy, God is all powerful, God is all powerful, beautiful, etc. But beyond beauty is love. One may not be beautiful, but if they have love, they'll be so attractive. Many people they're very loving people. They're physically not very attractive, but they say, he has such a great personality, or she has such a great personality. They may have millions of friends. They may be like ugly lady, not very pretty. But she has millions of girlfriends and millions of boyfriends because her personality is so great. It's full of love. So we define God as being all attractive, all beautiful. But even beyond beauty is love. And Krishna, of course, is beautiful and loving. So this is a higher definition of Godhead. So mercy above justice, love above power. So when they met, their love took over. It overruled the power of etiquette. It overruled the power of law of etiquette. Oh, hello, how are you? Where did you come from? I haven't seen you in 20 years. What have you been doing? I never even met you. When I was born, you were gone. When I appeared in Mayapur, you left. I never even met you, although you're my brother. Nityananda is a brother of Krishna. So Nityananda has been wandering all over India. Now he just came from Nityanandabad. So you would think, oh, don't I know you from somewhere? Haven't I met you in some yuga or something? Yes, we were together in Dwapara Yuga. You were my brother, Krishna. I was Balaram. Yes, I knew you looked familiar. Haven't I met you somewhere? Where have you been for the last 20 years? 22 years or whatever. So then the Lord said, I'm afraid to ask, but where did you come from? So that's after this love took over. Love submerged them in its own river. And the river took them down to the ocean. And when they got in the ocean, they got tossed by the waves here and there. The waves of ecstatic symptoms took them in different directions for the education of everyone there and for their own relish of rasa, rasa ashwadaya.